Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on another episode of PW Presents. This installment of the show is featuring T-Dog Jerry Travelstead and the Stone Cold Plumster Josh Plumley, known as Disciplinary Action at Stride Pro Wrestling. And we're going to be talking a lot about Stride Pro Wrestling in this episode, previewing their big Wrestling in the Ville show coming up Friday, October 6th at the Pinckneyville 204 School in Pinckneyville, Illinois. I want to make a special note and focus on the point that it is Friday, October 6th. I'm pretty sure multiple times in this episode, I get not only the date, but the day of the week wrong. So be sure, Friday, October 6th, Pinckneyville, Illinois. It's going to be a great show. They showed the card. We're going to be covering that tomorrow night on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Touch on it a little bit, but it's definitely going to be one you want to check out, especially because you get to meet Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. How cool is that? Also, hopefully the audio in this turned out okay. I know Shannon is working his magic on it. This was the first time I've used the audio board, and I was touching buttons I shouldn't have been touching, and trying to keep up with the differences in volume that were kind of happening throughout the episode, but Shannon thinks it's going to turn out okay. I have all the faith in the world in Shannon, so hopefully it's about the same quality you've come to expect when listening to the Podzilla 1985 Network. Speaking of the Podzilla 1985 Network, if you like this episode, you like what we do, take a real quick second, run over to facebook.com/Podzilla1985, give us a like, share your favorite episode with your friends so even more people can get in on this, what we got going on here. If you like us that much, you can even go to patreon.com/Podzilla1985, throw a little bit of money our way. We are going to be retooling the rewards very soon. I know we've been saying that for months now, but I'm going to sit everyone down and we're really going to get this done here very quickly. So, and any little bit goes a long way. So we very much appreciate that. Also, just reviewing us in whatever platform you choose to listen to us, iTunes, Podcast Addict, anything else that has a review system, throw us the, you know, I'm partial to 5 stars, believe it or not. So we would very much appreciate that. So hopefully you enjoy this. We'll get right into the interview and we will talk to you soon.
Target on my back, lone survivor. Surrender, no trigger, fingers go, living the dangerous life. Hey, 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 every day when I wake, I'm trying to get up, they're knocking me down.
Okay, and joining us at this time, we have myself, 5-star man Asa Gray, Dalton Anthony is with me, and our guests today are Jerry T-Dog Travelstead, former Stride Legacy Champion.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And the Stone Cold Plumster. Your tag team partner for this evening. We'll get more into that tomorrow night on Pro Wrestling Unscripted as we recap the Stride show from this past weekend.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely. So we're doing this show kind of to help promote the next Stride event that's going to be October 16th here at the Pinckneyville 204 school.
October 6th.
Oh, it is October 6th.
October 6th, yep.
Okay, numbers are good. It's not like I have a piece of paper just right here telling me what it is.
That's all right. We'll be having October 6th. It's our next Stride show on Friday night. We ended up going on Friday night this year instead of a Saturday, but we're still excited and hopefully get a good crowd that night as well. So,
and now, is this going to be, because this isn't the first time that Stride has been here at the Pinckneyville School. Is this another fundraising event?
Yeah, this is a fundraiser. We've had about half a dozen of these so far. We started out with USA Championship Wrestling, came in a couple years ago and did a show for us. And then since that, myself and Josh Plumley, our English teacher, and we have another friend, Sean Carter, who's kind of, we've kind of worked together, and now we're kind of on our own, so to speak, but we partner with Stride now, Pro Wrestling with Heath Hatton, and we've been super excited. This is probably our second show with Stride, I believe, here at 204 School.
Exclusively with Stride, yes.
Yeah, exclusively with Stride. And, you know, it's a great fundraiser. That's kind of what the three of us are interested in, is doing school fundraisers. We've actually raised here nearly $25,000 doing wrestling events here at our school. We average, I think last time we raised over $3,000 that Stride came in and helped us out here. And so it's a great fundraiser. It's one of those deals where, you know, if you're into wrestling or you just buy a ticket and you come. If not, we're not pushing anything on you. You know, you don't have to go buy cookies or suckers or anything else. You know, our kids aren't going door to door. It's just an easy event to do, and we really want to try and push out and even do other schools or other nonprofits is what we're what our goal is.
Which I think that's in the works right now, so it looks good from that standpoint as well.
So what led, other than, you know, you being a wrestler, what led you with the idea of being able to use wrestling as a fundraising tool?
Actually, it kind of, it's backwards. I took my son to a USA Championship Wrestling event at the Duke Coin State Fair a few years back. I was into wrestling as a kid, like I'm sure everybody here was, when they were, well, we still are, so.
Yeah, that's still currently
the situation. So anyhow, so I took my boys thinking, hey, maybe they'll like this, and so we went and watched, and then I saw on TV where they were advertising fundraiser with USA Championship Wrestling, and I thought, yeah, give it a try. So I gave them a phone call. I talked to them. They told me how it worked, you know, as far as having an event. And for years, our parking lot out front here, I don't know if you guys came in on a nice concrete parking lot. I don't know if you remember last time you were here, that was not concrete. It was oil and chip and rock and potholes everywhere. And so for years, this is needed replaced. And so I thought, well, let's try to do a fundraiser. And so we had USA Championship Wrestling come out. We did the fundraiser, raised a couple $1,000. It was a fun event. Could not believe how much people got into it. People that don't even watch wrestling. You guys were at our event, I think, in the spring.
Yeah.
We don't have wrestling fans here. You know, I mean, part of them are, but part of them are not. And so, like, when I tell the guys backstage, the boys, I say, you know, these guys don't, a lot of them don't know how to be wrestling fans. And so if you provoke them, they will do something they shouldn't do.
They will react in a non-professional wrestling.
Because they don't understand, you know, like the kids.
Yeah, and that being said, though, like, we were at the event, and we are very, like, Asa and I are both very wishy-washy on, like, wrestling fans and, like, what isn't okay. But, like, the school, like, the event here was awesome. Like, the crowd was very much, it was a loud crowd through the entire event. It was, like, it felt like a professional wrestling crowd. Like, there was some moments where it didn't, but that's just because it's not they're not as predisposed to it as, like, we are. But no, like, I will say, like, it being a fundraising event, and for people that aren't traditional wrestling fans, they were very much into it, which was awesome to see.
Yeah. And like I said, this is about our half, you know, sixth one we've done, and so they are kind of getting used to it. We try to get the Stride crowd out. You know, we do what we can, get them guys to come from up from Marion to come watch our show, and they help out a lot because they know what to do, what chance to, you know, like, I'm sure you guys were hollering at Billy probably, and you know, and doing that kind of thing, and so it's helped out a lot. Josh and I and Sean are real big into the looks and to the fan experience. And so that's why we work so hard on, well, we purchased a nice ring. We got the guardrails. We put a screen up and a stage. And we really wanted to make it feel as good of experience for the kids as possible.
As close to the image that they actually see when they turn on the TV for a smaller setting. That's our goal. We want it to be as authentic to what they would watch on a Monday or a Tuesday night as we can do here at the school.
And that was something that we talked about when we talked about the show after the fact, was just how nice the setup was, because it was just like everything looked so like legit.
Right.
And that, I think that really helped. It also, speaking of like the crowd and, you know, maybe reacting in a way that maybe they weren't supposed to. One of our favorite moments just in wrestling, that in live wrestling that we've been to, was Red Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
Jawing with the little girl.
Bullseye, I should say.
Turns around and just that water bottle like a missile.
Yeah.
Just right to the face.
And she's a Stride fan. That's not even one of my kids.
Yeah, that's not one of our kids.
I was sitting right behind her. I came out to watch that match myself. And so I sat in the crowd, and it just so happened I sat in this chair behind her, and Red turns around, and she has a 3/4 full water bottle, chucks it end over end, and the bottom of that bottle hits him square in the nose, and immediately my teacher reaction, principal reaction, is I jumped her, you know. I said, hey, I scared, you know, and she turned around. She was scared to death and sat right down. Her mom said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, And Red was, it didn't even faze him. I mean, later I talked to him and he said, yeah, it hurt, but I think it's adrenaline or whatever, but
there's no way it couldn't have hurt.
No.
I mean, he got smoked.
Yeah.
Because that was a shot.
Yeah. She hit him square. So, but, you know, that's what we try to do here. We do this you know, for two reasons. We try to raise money, and we're trying to do something for our kids that normally they wouldn't get to see or do. And so it's been a great success for us. I get a lot of fulfillment out of watching them because, like I tell people, you watch the moms that bring the kids. Mm-hmm. The moms are laughing at the dads who are getting into it and screaming and hollering, you know. And there's this dude we had, the very first show we had here. He's a firefighter in town. The guy's name's Chuck McElvain. He's like
huge,
6'6", you know, and he's over, well over 300 pounds. But one of the guys was mouthing him, you know, as soon as they came out. And he's sitting there, and everybody in the crowd knows him because he's a hometown guy, you know. And he's like, why don't you stand up? And Chuck stands up, and he's 6'6", 300 pounds. He's like, why don't you sit down?
So, he didn't want anyone to
sit up. As soon as that happened, as soon as that moment happened, it was sold, and so our people are really into it. Whether they watch wrestling on Mondays and Tuesdays or not, they're into it.
And our kids are into it when we do it. I mean, they really get into the fact that we're in there doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and we weren't wrestlers before.
No, we were not. We did this
after
for
about
them.
Our third or fourth show. He and I talk all the time. How can we sell tickets? How can we make this better than it was before? How can we sell tickets? How can we sell more tickets? And the thing we came up with is one of us is going to have to get in the ring. You know, one of us is going to have to draw. And so that's what we've tried doing. We started with the referee route. I refed a match, or I slid in on a match, and then he refed a match, and then he wrestled a match, and then I wrestled a match. And so we've been going back and forth. And so this next time, you know, we've got some pretty good plan in place, we think, to make it different than what it was last time. And so what we're trying to do every time is just make it different. Mm-hmm. Make it different than what it was the time.
And better.
And better, yeah.
Yeah, because that was probably one of my favorite things at that show was the lumberjack match.
Yeah.
With all of the teachers coming out with yardsticks. That absolutely cracked me up. And something that I'm just curious about, like, so the reaction Monday morning from the kids, like, when you come in, is it just the funniest? Or
it is. And they love that because the kids did not know that the teachers were going to be there for that. You know, they didn't realize that they're coming out like that, and that was a surprise. And so they knew Miss Shaney Felt, our PE teacher, was going to be my tag team partner that night. They knew that, and they were real excited, and she did great, very athletic lady, and so she did a pretty good job. And she's loud, and so it helped a lot. Yeah. But they, you know, the kids love it. I mean, I'm not joking you. This is my office we're sitting in, and I walk down this hallway and then walk up, and I'll have three or four kids either try to jump me from behind or twist my arm or fake
super kick. Smacking the leg.
I mean, nonstop. I mean, it's all, and it's fun. You know, we have a good time with it. But it helps me, and probably Josh too, to relate to those kids that way, because when they do something that they shouldn't and they get sent to my office, I just got to look at them, you know, because they, you know, because it's a relationship where they don't want to disappoint me.
Absolutely.
And it's not necessarily because we're wrestling stars or nothing, but this has allowed us to develop a relationship with all the kids that really helps out and changes the climate of the entire school.
They look at us differently. They look at us as people that they don't want to disappoint rather than someone that they're going to have to deal with when they screw up. And I'd much rather a kid, whenever they do make a mistake, look at me and say, I don't want to disappoint you, then, oh, I screwed up, I better not get caught next time. So it does improve the whole school climate immensely in the fact that that relationship exists. So
how long have you guys been, like, wrestling? Like, you know, you say you grew up wrestling fans. Like, what, you know?
Well, I grew up in the Hogan era, you know. Mm-hmm. So I started watching probably 84, you know, somewhere through there. And then when I got to about high school, right when The Rock and Austin came out, I can remember Goldberg just coming out, and that's when I turned it off. And, you know, I was into high school doing all that kind of stuff and didn't watch it again until...
In other words, he missed a ton of great stuff.
I missed the Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression Era. So, and then I got back into it about 4 or 5 years ago. So I got tickets given to me for Survivor Series in St. Louis.
Okay.
And so we saw Sting come out for the first time, and I was there. You know, I've been watching ever since.
I had somebody offer tickets that night for that show, but I was in college, and I was just like, no, I have class at 8 a.m. Monday morning. I'm not going to go. I watched it on the network, and I saw Sting come out, and I was just like, well, that was the dumbest choice I could have made wrestling-wise. But, yeah, I know.
It was neat.
So, like, was it just that event got you back into wrestling?
Oh, okay. Sitting there. You know, like I said, when I watched it, Hogan Era, they didn't have entrances, you know. And so those fireworks went off and the show started. me and Sean Carter, the guy that was the third one of us, he went with me and our two oldest boys. As soon as that came out and those fireworks hit, we were ducking. I mean, we were scared. We thought, well, and there was other things going on around St. Louis at that time that was negative, you know, and so we were kind of scared anyhow going there. But as soon as those fireworks hit, we ducked and we got down, but man, it was just such an experience. First time I saw John Cena, and I'm a Cena mark. He's my favorite wrestler, you know, and he was awesome. Watching Sting come out was awesome. You know, it was just it got me hooked, and so I've been on it. I watch it as much as he does now or more.
I never stopped watching it from the time that I was born in 85. I've seen every era since then. You know, I caught the last end of the Hogan era. Then he went to the WCW era, NWO. Bret Hart, Yokozuna, you know, then the Attitude era. I've watched it all, you know, and I never stopped. It's something
he's
my dad
like you
and I,
guys. He can remember what match it was, when it
absolutely
was. I can't do that, you know. Yeah. But he can recall everything.
Well, it's funny because, like, when you said you stopped watching wrestling, it was like in the Attitude Era. I had, like, from freshman to junior year, I stopped watching it. But fortunately for me, it was like People Power. So, like, I missed a good 3 years. Like, I missed a good, nothing really happened.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, like, yeah. The pipe bomb was what got me back into it. And I was, like, a senior in high school.
And that was great.
Yeah, like, and that's what got me back into it. But, yeah, it's just, it's one of those things that's funny. It's just like, oh, I stopped watching it in, like, 96. And I was like, oh. So, like, right when wrestling became really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, the fortunate thing is now I have two boys that are into it, and so I use those guys as excuses all the time to go watch wrestling, you know. I was like, hey, boys.
And I get to use them, too.
I was like, hey, boys, tell mom we need to go watch this, you know. Yeah. So I get to go, you know.
And, like, in the fortunate thing of it, like, being the way it is now, it's a lot more, like, family-friendly.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, and because, what was it? It was recently Billy Gunn was at CCW. And he did a thing with, like, when he went in the ring, he said, all right, if your kid's under five, have them cover their ears, because I'm not getting tweeted on Monday morning that a kid got sent to the principal's office because he said, suck it. And I looked at Asa, and I said, I was one of those kids in, like, 98 that got in trouble at school for doing that. So it's, like, it's cool now that it's a lot more family-friendly.
It helps people like me, that's for sure. If you got kids, it helps, because if my wife hears that, you know, over here, we try to shut the door when we're watching Raw or whatever, you know, because, heck, the Cena, Roman.
Yeah,
Roman. That was awesome. I mean, it pushed the edge, you know, a little bit, but that was awesome. And so we can make sure the door's shut when we're watching it, you know, so she doesn't hear it, you know, so. But, yeah, I appreciate it because I can take my kids, and I don't really have to worry a whole lot. We've been to Maine the last 2 years, and we've already got our hotel room for this year. And this year I'm taking my youngest boy with me and my oldest, and so we're real excited about that. So have you guys ever been to Mania?
I went to WrestleMania 27, which was the worst one. But it was still just an absolute blast. That was the one with Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler. And yeah.
He looks so sad.
Well, I am sad. I'm sure in itself was a spectacle, but you're right.
And Snooki was there. It was just like, oh. Yeah. But, I mean, but you know, that said, the Cody Rhodes-Rey Mysterio match was really, really good.
Yes.
It got to see Edge's last match, which even at the time we didn't know that was going to be Edge's last match. So that was equal parts heartbreaking and looking back now, like, oh, that's actually kind of cool that I got to be there. And then Miz beat Cena. So that was... That was an interesting kind of fit. Like that was like that. I think that was the thing that no one was really expecting. Granted, it was The Rock and all that, but Mania just that entire. It was before like Access Weekend was like they still had Access events, but there weren't like PWG's running a big show, ROH is running a big show. Like it wasn't the hub of wrestling, quite yet. So, but just the atmosphere of being in a stadium with that many people all chanting the same thing was just it was crazy.
For me, you can't explain what Mania is. I mean, the last 2 years we've been, the first year we kind of dumbed into some awesome wrestling. We weren't really into the indie stuff. We didn't really know a lot about it. I bought tickets online. I'm a planner. I want to know what I'm doing every 5 minutes, you know. And so I got, scheduling. I go into his room. He's like, I don't know if we really want to do that. I'm like, well, I don't either. But we bought tickets to Progress, and we saw two Progress shows. We saw Ricochet versus Will Ospreay, and
unbelievable.
We're sitting there like, what is this? I mean, these guys are jumping off 20-foot balconies, and it was awesome, unbelievable, you know. And just, I recommend that everybody tries to go to Mania. It is an expensive event, but you can go. cheaply. You know, you can get a decent ticket. Like my son says, my son's 10, but very smart when it comes to this kind of stuff, setting rings and stuff up. And he's like, I don't want to sit down low. I want to sit middle, you know, because if you sit down low, you miss some stuff. Mm-hmm. We sat by the ramp last year.
Missed a
terrible
ton of
seats.
Stuff.
We're looking up 30 feet trying to see the wrestlers.
The ramp was 30 plus feet.
The ramp was so tall that you couldn't even see them coming down. So mm-hmm. we're thinking we got pretty good seats. Nah, we know now you got to sit on the, you know, hard camera side and you know, and to get the full effect. But the Mania weekend itself is, there's just so much to do. Access is unbelievable. You know, we dumbed into the first year we went to Mania. We went to Access the first night because it was the only thing to do.
It was unbelievable.
And so we walk in and we go back to the ring where NXT at the time, they put on matches during Access, and they start to do stuff. And I'm like, hey, I think they're going to record a Stone Cold podcast. I was telling him, I think they're going to record one. And so I'm standing there. I'm not like, hey,
I'm getting goosebumps.
I'm from me to you, from Austin, you know. Mm-hmm.
And he's right there.
Yeah, and we stood there and watched the podcast, and Foley was on the podcast.
Foley was the one on the podcast. I took a selfie with Foley. He came to the crowd, wrapped his arm around me. We took a selfie. It was epic.
It was unbelievable. And then we went to an indie show the next night. They were doing a Terry Funk tribute at this Dean's Ranch we went to. We just kind of dumbed on it. And who comes out? Mick Foley. Had gotten permission from the WWE not to go to the Hall of Fame that night. Comes out into the ring, him and Sabu, and they give Terry Funk this plaque, you know, for his work in wrestling. And then all of a sudden, all three of them are getting into it. I don't remember who the guys were.
They wrestled a full-blown match, and Foley finished it with Socko.
Yeah, he took not Socko. He actually took his actual sock
That's
off.
That's what I'm talking about, off his foot.
Yeah, he took his actual sock off and was, you know, it, I mean, but the Mania experience, you can get it cheaply, but you cannot wait because third parties, you know, I hate it. I hate the way StubHub and all that mm-hmm. works because a ticket that costs you $20 is going to cost you $80, you know, mm-hmm. if you don't get it right when they go on sale. But great experience, and you know, I'm addicted to wrestling now. I watch it all the time, indie stuff, Japan. You know, I can't name all the wrestling matches like he can. I can watch an entire match, and I won't be able to recall when it happened, you know, mm-hmm. after I'm done. But I love it, though. And what they're doing at Stride has been a lot of fun to watch Heath and a couple of those other guys and getting to go to practice and learning a little bit about wrestling. And, you know, I started out a couple of years ago wanting to do every flip and everything I could possibly do, you know, like the acrobats. And, you know, I've learned real quick, if you want to do this for any length of time, you don't do that kind of stuff.
I wanted to go through every table and everything until I pinched my sciatic nerve and the kids have to help me down the hallway to get to class. That's why I haven't wrestled since then. I'm finally on the mend. But, yeah, you want to do everything, and then you find out after you've went through tables and been thrown through chairs and all that stuff, it is real. I mean, it doesn't – you can't fake it. You can't fake it. You know?
So how did you get – like, how did you start your – because we were super impressed, like, because we'd seen you wrestle before at Stride.
Yeah.
You know, you were the legacy champion, like, so we knew you could wrestle.
Right.
And then, like, oh, they're doing this thing, they're doing the school stuff, and then both your tag team partner and then Josh, like being – like, we were seriously sitting there just like, oh, no, they took this seriously. This wasn't just a, you know, he's telling us to go and do this thing, so we'll just show up and – but, so, like, so how did the training go?
So we got the idea that he wrestled a match – or refereed a match, and then we decided that the next time he was going to wrestle in the match, you know, wrestle, I think, Hargis, right?
In a no DQ match.
And so then I.
Why?
And then I.
That just seems like a terrible idea.
You wanted to do everything you could.
Yeah. I mean, when you first get into it, you're thinking, I want to do everything right now, you know, this match. And so, but anyhow, and so I was going to tag team with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And so my personality, and I'm assuming Josh's as well, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it. I don't want to just get in there and, you know, look like I don't know what I'm doing. So we took it serious, and we went that entire spring as much as we could. I started lifting weights again, trying to get in shape, and we went to practices quite a bit and learned how to do all the basics, you know. And so Heath was excellent. We had Heath and, of course, Tony Flood, Jay Spade, which is Jason Chapman, those three guys. And then Dan at the time was still in training. Dan Turnquist and a couple other guys were in training as well. And so we went as much as we could, learned as much as we could, did the, you know, all the basics. And then when the time came, you know, we both had our matches. And Josh has kind of a different style than I do. You know, he's more of a brawler type, you know, and kind of like this, you know, he's an Austin Mark. I mean, I think everybody knows that, you know, kind of that kind of style. And so we do things a little differently. Our tag team, we've only wrestled probably twice together, maybe three times, once. Well, there you go. See, my brain doesn't work real well. I'm older. I'm 38, you know, so and so we wrestled, but we took it serious, you know. And for me, and my life has meant a lot to me because I've taken it serious since the day we started, and now I lift weights every single day I can. And at my age, I feel like I have to, you know, because you get in that ring, in 5 minutes you're done. I mean, you're blown up. That's what they call, you know, you're breathing so hard. The first three or four matches, I was telling him, that Hacksaw match that I wrestled against two guys that are excellent wrestlers. It was I can't remember who I wrestled against, but
Chris Michaels was one of
Chris
them.
Chris Michaels,
and the other one was James Carver.
Carver, and they both are excellent, excellent wrestlers. The entire time, all I remember seeing was the canvas. That's the only thing I can remember. I was up, you know, you're supposed to do certain things. I looked over here, and there's this guy sitting over here. I'm like, wait a second. When the match started, I thought he was sitting over there. You know, you get so turned around that you don't even know where you are, and you move too fast. But I'm telling you, it's been rewarding. It has been,
and I think what's been tough for us is we're both so busy as well. You know, we've got so much going on here. We both coach the basketball team here. We're involved. I'm the track coach, but he helps me and helps me do everything during track season. So there are limited amounts of time to where we can go. So we were going to practice after school. We'd get done with school, go to practice. Then we'd go to wrestling practice on top of that. So we were just going nonstop, you know. And like I said, it got me working out some again when I tweaked my back. And I don't know if you've ever had a pinched sciatic nerve, but it literally shoots down your entire leg. I couldn't hardly pick anything up. And even the last match that you saw me wrestle, I could barely walk. Like, I couldn't get out of bed for the next 3 days, really, from that, just because my sciatic nerve hurt so bad. But it's kind of got itself worked out. So I'm going to, I guess, get back into this thing again. The kids love it. I enjoy it for myself because I'm a wrestling fanatic, but the fact that the kids like it as much as they do, just like that kid that made us on his video game and named our tag team that we're wrestling under tonight, that means a lot to me that I've made an impact on a kid like that. That does enough for me right there, you know.
I don't think we've said it yet on the podcast, but can one of you please say what your tag team name is, because it is my favorite thing in the world.
Disciplinary Action. And a young man in eighth grade last year named Hudson Krager, we call him Huck, came to us and said, "Coach, I made you and Mr. T on WWE 2K17. And I mean, he literally went all out. Our logos from our shirts, everything. It looks just like us. But I made you as a tag team, and I called you Disciplinary Action. And we were like, that's pretty good. So we actually took that.
Yeah, so when Heath called me and asked me, you know, would you guys be interested in wrestling together? I said, yeah. He said, you got a name idea? I'm like, and so I went and talked to him, and we agreed it has to be Disciplinary Action. I mean, it's, you know, in honor of Hudson, we wanted to do that. And Hudson's a fanatic fan. He's supported us. His family supported us from the first show.
Great
on
family.
And so that's our name. I toyed with the idea of getting a paddle and bringing it down with us, you know, just for that. But we haven't done that yet, so
that would be good. I like that a lot.
You need to now, like, because that's amazing. Just the thought of that is fantastic.
I'm just picturing Scott Phoenix's reaction, like, his reaction.
Yeah, did you guys see his Facebook status today?
No,
it was something along the lines of if you've ever just sat in class and wondered, man, I really wish I could beat this teacher up. He's like, well, luckily enough for you, Maximum Overdrive gets to live out your fantasy
great
today.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Scott, yeah, it doesn't. that's about right, yeah. Well, the paddle's going to come into play soon. We got an idea, and you guys will kind of see tonight where we're going with it. But it's going to be fun, and we've had a great time, and I plan on continuing to do this every so often. whenever I can. I've told Heath, you know, I'll show up whenever I can. We're busy. I'm the principal and superintendent here at 204, and so there's so many activities school related. I also preach on the side. You know, tomorrow morning I'm preaching over here in Pinckneyville, and so he's coaches several sports, and so we're busy, just like everybody mm-hmm. else is busy. So, but we do it for the kids, and do it just try to raise money for good cause. So we're excited about October, though.
Big time.
We got Ricky the Dragon Steamboat coming.
And, I'm super excited for that.
Yeah.
I have a bearded dragon in my classroom named Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yes.
Excellent.
His classroom's just around the corner here, and he's got a dragon in there. So we're hoping he'll take a picture with it. We're not sure. When I booked him, one of the stipulations was he has to give me an arm drag before the show starts. And so I'm hoping he'll still do that, but we'll see. But we're excited. We saw him at Mania last year when they did the Ric Flair statue presentation. We were there for that, and he looked like he's in great shape. And so he'll be refereeing a match here, and then he'll be doing the meet and greet as well.
Yeah, because the meet and greet thing, that's one of the things that like Asa and I, we really enjoy doing, like anytime we can, because like we get to meet some professional wrestlers, but like the meet and greet thing is always the fun thing, because you get your autograph and all that. James Storm, who I've met twice now, he was at this 204 yes. last time, and he was just a pleasure to meet. And I've never got to meet Ricky Steamboat before, but he's somebody that like whenever I was in high school, early college, whenever I was getting back into wrestling, he was somebody I just went and started watching all of his stuff, and like the WrestleMania 3 match
way
with
ahead of his time.
Yeah, yeah. Like just his work was amazing, and I'm really excited just to get to meet him.
Right. And the amazing thing is about Steamboat is most of his work was done before my time. Even I saw him during the Hogan era, but he was actually at the end, you know, middle to end of his career even there. You know, he did so much work with Flair and all that prior to that. But we had a chance to get him for a very reasonable price. And, you know, we charged $10 for our meet and greet, which is you're not going to see anywhere.
You will not find a meet and greet with these caliber of performers for $10 anywhere else.
Yeah, and so we're excited about it. You know, most of the time, like James Storm was awesome. Awesome guy. We were supposed to be having Tyrus. He was supposed to have been here. I don't know what happened. I'm guessing he got a better gig, you know, doing something on Fox News or something. Didn't, you know, ended up canceling on us. But thankfully, the guy that books at the time, TNA, made good on it and got Storm to come. And Storm actually volunteered to come to help us out. And he was awesome. The guys backstage, I mean, he talked to those guys forever about wrestling. And we've been so fortunate. We had Hacksaw Jim Duggan, we had Bushwhacker Luke Williams, we had James Storm, and I know what kind of guy Steamboat is just from listening to everybody talk about him. But the guys we try to pick out, we try to pick out guys that we feel like are going to be good with our kids. You know, there's a lot of guys I'd like to meet just to say I met them, but mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want them here because
interacting with kids and, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
And so we've been real fortunate. Steamboat was high on my list. I never would have thought we could have got him. He was one of those guys I kind of thought was unreachable for us, you know, because we don't have a lot of money, you know, to do that kind of thing. And so I always thought he was out of our league, but, man, we're thankful to have him. So,
yeah, he's someone that I was too late on because it started me going back after his feud with Jericho during the whole Hall of Fame thing.
Yeah. Which was also cool.
And, like, and it was crazy because, like, him, like, those arm drags were as pretty as they were in the 80s, 70s, like, so going back and watching his matches with, like, Savage and Flair, those still hold up to today when it's an entirely different kind of wrestling, like, fast-paced, a lot more acrobatic stuff. He was doing that back then.
Oh, yeah.
Ahead of his time, he could go, if he was in his prime right now, he would be one of the top guys, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No doubt. Well, he's one of the best faces of all time. I mean, it's just all there is to it. You know, in the ring, he was had a great look to him, and
just tell he has integrity. I mean, and it has stood up. I mean, when you watch other podcasts and stuff and other wrestlers talking about him, how often do you hear anyone say a bad thing about Ricky the Dragon
Steamboat? He's actually one of the I'm a really big action figure collector, and they haven't made a Steamboat in a while, and I really need them to make a Steamboat.
They're expensive.
If you try to find one on eBay right now.
Yeah, no, like. Yeah, because I've looked for it.
Yeah.
And I see the price, and I'm like, I'll wait for it. But, that's one that I'm really excited.
That's where I am, because I try to buy a bunch of whoever's coming and give them away to our kids or whatever, you know. I got, like, two dozen Tyruses if anybody needs one of those. So he didn't show up. So, but Steamboat's like $75 for that defining moments one. You know, it's
yeah,
that one's awesome.
I ended up deciding to buy I bought an Intercontinental belt, and so that's what I got coming. I'm gonna have him sign that, even though he only won it once. Mm-hmm. That's in my mind. That's what I see. Him, a Macho three. Man, you know. And,
but is that such that it's that such a monumental moment oh. that it's like you know. It, just because he had it once, like that doesn't even matter. No. It's just like he's still.
To me, he was the best. I mean, Intercontinental Champion, even though he didn't have it for very long.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that match was so awesome that, you know, for personal reasons, that's what I bought, and I'm gonna have him sign that.
And we're both bad about that when it comes to wrestling stuff. When it comes to wrestling stuff, we kind of lose our sense, and we go out.
I can afford that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
If you look around the corner of my office, you'll see way too many figurines.
Yeah.
That, you know. Oh, no, I'm an avid collector. Yes. That's like Kevin for the My 1-2-3 Cents. That's why he wanted me on there. He's like, I want to talk to Dalton about action figures. And I was like, because I have like, I think I have over 100 of them now, and I started collecting them like 3 years ago. And it's the same thing where it's just like, I mean, yeah, and in college it was bad. I was like, well, I could eat, or I can get the CM Punk figure for $30.
Yeah.
And yeah, I need to lose weight anyways when I tell myself, you know. So
the CM Punk's going to help me with that one.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff, like, you know, you said you watch with your boys and everything. Like, what kind of stuff are you excited? And you both watched a little bit of everything. But, like, what gets you really excited, like, now?
I'll be honest with you. The Roman Reigns, John Cena thing has me more intrigued than anything right now. I mean, the way that they are playing to the crowd, not worrying about kayfabe as much, and they're just – it seems like they're going at it, you know.
They're allowing mm-hmm. them to talk like they did in the Attitude Era. They're allowing them to go at each other.
And I think it's still planned, but it's planned very intelligently, you know. Yes. They're saying stuff that makes the crowd – it makes you want to almost teeter on, are they being serious or are they not being serious? You know, do they really not like each other? You know, and so it's fun to play to that. And to me, that's what's got me I'm most excited about right now. Now, I still like watching all the big names come out, and Lesnar and all those guys. Braun Strowman's a gigantic man. I saw him down at Carbondale. Huge. We were at Access the first year at Dallas.
He scared the I'm standing
probably 20 feet from a curtain. And we're in the superstore, and all of a sudden, the curtain rips open, and he jumps out and screams as loud as he can. Oh my gosh, I about peed my pants. I mean, he is a gigantic man, and he's even gotten bigger since he's been in WWE. As far as you know, thinning, you know, toning up some. So,
and it's crazy to see just how quickly he's come around.
Yeah,
because like they were talking about, he's done a bunch of interviews with like Stone Cold and Jericho and all them, and talking about like, yeah, my third match ever was on Raw. And, like, so seeing, like, where he was with the Wyatt family and the stuff they had him doing to, like, that cage match he just had with Big Show, which was just insane, like, so good.
It was great. Like, for a PG cage match, it was
right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
He's doing things that a guy his size either has never done, because a guy his size, I'm excluding guys like The Undertaker and Kane, because this guy's bigger than them.
Yeah.
I mean, he weighs an immense amount. And he is huge. And those guys, while they were great athletes, and the Undertaker's walking the top rope and doing those things, this guy is a, you know, Andre the Giant, Big Show, guys like that. He's that size, and he's doing things in the ring that just blow your mind.
Yeah, like that cage match alone, he cleared the Big Show over the top rope.
Yes.
Like he very handily.
And you know the Big Show's not helping a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he's just up in the air.
He doesn't post well. It was, yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, no, he. So who are your favorites right now? If you had to give me like a top like two or three, who are just your top wrestlers
that are wrestling right now?
Yeah.
In WWE, for me, it's Cena, AJ Styles. You know, that for me, that's AJ Styles, now that I've been actually wrestling and learning, he doesn't miss anything. Like, everything he does is top-notch. I mean, every move he makes is technical.
He makes everyone else look
easy. He makes it look easy, and that mm-hmm. crap he does is not easy. I mean, I about broke my neck trying to do some of the stuff he does every single night, you know, just in practice, you know. And so he's fun to watch just because he's technically a great wrestler. On the mic, he's not the best, in my opinion, but those two are my favorites right now.
Guys that intrigue me are guys that tend to would fit in the Attitude Era. Bray Wyatt's one to say. I think that they keep destroying him. I mean, I wish they would do a better job with him because he is so good. I mean, he can draw in the crowd with his words, and then he goes in the ring, and that's something a lot of people don't talk about. How great is this guy also, the way his build and everything, the way he moves and the things he's capable of doing in the ring, he's great. AJ Styles is great. I'll be honest with you, as far as the rest of them go, Cena, I do enjoy him, because, and I appreciate him more because of his charitable acts and everything.
He doesn't like Cena. don't listen to him.
But as far as but as far as his in the ring stuff over the years, I'm just not.
He boos him and I cheer him. That's the way it goes.
Do you think it's one of those things where, because you missed kind of a chunk of Cena, like this is prime Cena years, like the U.S. title open, like the last couple matches he's had, like the match he had with Nakamura, whereas you probably sat through the Super Cena, Super Marine, lol Cena wins. Kind
of. No matter what, Cena wins.
That's right.
That's where I watched.
That's all that matters. I appreciate his you know, the ring psychology. I mean, the little he has to do to get a crowd into, like he told Reigns, they're chanting against me, but it's still about me. Mm-hmm. Nothing, you know, it's not about you. And that's what I like about him, is that he, you know, and it takes years to get there.
Pay Steve Austin whatever he wants and bring him back. Whatever he wants.
I don't even know if they can afford him anymore.
No.
Because he seems pretty happy with his
retirement. If they can afford The Rock, they can afford Stone Cold.
One of my friends got me an early birthday present. It's a old Cena statue from the Word cool. Life era. Yeah.
See, I'm not watching it. I'm not went back and watched his old stuff.
My sister-in-law, when she was about 15 or 16 years old, I bought her tickets to go see Judgment Day pay-per-view in St. Louis. And she's the world's biggest Cena fan. I to this day... And he is still single, so I can say that she would marry him tomorrow. all it would take is a simple, will you, yes. But, you know, she was a huge Cena fan, so I had to put on my Cena face for a certain amount of years, because when she was a kid, I was like, okay.
You don't want to...
Right, I don't want to burst your bubble. You know, I would sit through it. I was secretly cheering for Edge during that feud, you know, because Edge was really doing some... Attitude era style stuff during those feuds, you know. So I was like, okay, this brings me back to my glory days. But I would love to see Daniel Bryan get back, because I think he's very good on the mic. It did look like he's been working out. The other night, I noticed, and I texted him. I said, "Look at how cut he looks right now. Is there something going on? Is he planning a return?"
Did you listen to Edge and Christian's podcast?
Not frequently, no.
Yeah,
I've heard it a couple times, but
haven't. Go listen to the Daniel Bryan one, because apparently he is very much cleared to wrestle, just not by WWE.
Like he goes into the whole, because like they ask him, like, so, you know, you keep saying like, well, I'm cleared to wrestle, just WWE won't let me. They sent WWE chose the doctors, sent him to like three different specialists. They all said yes, and then but WWE's like, well, no, we don't want that. So, but then. He goes into detail about, you know, well, the reason that they're saying no turns out may not be as big of a deal as even the doctor's like, oh, no, that's not what a lesion means. Because he hears, oh, there's a lesion on my brain. That's it. But then one of the doctors like, well, no, a lesion just means there's something there. And your reflexes aren't like premier top athlete reflexes. They're more average Joe guy reflexes. They're not bad. They're not worse than an average person. So he's... At this point in his career, he's very much just the tag I've given him is Daniel, fire me WWE Brian.
Right.
Because he's made it pretty clear that if he's not wrestling in WWE, like once his contract's up, he's going
to
go.
And they want, and that's what they're doing, I think, WWE, is they're trying to get all the talent. They don't have storylines for them all, but as long as they're under WWE, they're not out.
They're making money for someone else.
Yeah, they're not making money for somebody else.
Well, they will before that happens, I would almost bet, as long as the doctors have cleared him where they feel like they don't have a situation where they're open for a lawsuit or a black eye down the road, they'll allow him to wrestle before they let him go to ROH or somewhere. They will not let that, because he's too over. I mean, he's still, you know, the biggest pop they get.
If he went to Ring of Honor tomorrow, Daniel Bryan would be put up on the Titan or the Tron, and the Ring of Honor crowd would lose their mind, and he wouldn't have to do nothing.
No, and they would lose, like during Mania Week, they would lose attendance at their events because people are going to ROH to watch that. I mean,
they're going to see Daniel Bryan. You saw what happened with the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if there was, like, Mania, if he was at the Ring of Honor show, whatever, I forget what they call it, but if they were at that weekend show, TakeOver would take a huge bump
in
attendance.
No doubt.
And as great as NXT
is. We chose to go to Ring of Honor instead of NXT last year, And we were, you know, we were blessed with an awesome card, you know.
Not that, that NXT still that night wasn't glorious.
Oh, it was glorious. Glorious. Right. Yeah. But he also likes Bobby Roode. He forgot to mention him, too. So
I've enjoyed Beer Money for years. You know, they were an Attitude Era style that, group tag
yeah.
team.
That was one of my favorite live experiences was a Beer Money. They came out, and me and my friends, because they did a house show at in Cape.
Yeah.
And they did a me and my friends that were with, we were chanting, "We want beer," or "We want money," depending on who was in the ring. The rest of the crowd got real annoyed with us because we wouldn't shut up. But then as they were leaving, James Storm like saw us as we were still chanting for him and blew us a kiss. So I was just like, huh, yay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to wrestle with him. One of the most epic things ever, you know? I
mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy, you know? It's amazing how things work out. I would have never dreamed when I was a kid that I'd been able to do the things I've been able to do. I mean, never. I wished. I went through several trampolines planning on it, you know, practicing to do it, but I never thought it would actually happen, but it seems to work.
Well, like the similar thing with me, like with CCW being on Fight TV, I was a big DX fan because I would have been like six or eight whenever they were really doing their thing. And whenever they said, well, Billy Gunn's going to be at CCW, we were really excited about that. And we do the backstage interviews. Like, we're on the CCW Chaos TV show. And Jason, the booker, said, well, we want Billy Gunn to do one of the interviews. And I just kind of looked at Asa with a look of being like, all right, what do I have to do to get this one? And just getting to like meet him, and then like the fact that I can say like you can go on Fight TV and you will see Billy Gunn and myself on the same like screen for a second is like the coolest thing, and that's something I never thought I'd get to do.
Yeah, he's huge.
He's a massive dude. You don't realize how big he is until you're next.
Yeah, and I'll show you, like, if I can pull it up, I'll show you the clip, because he spends the entire promo messing with me, trying to get me to laugh. And it was like, it's one of those things, like, one of my friends, like, it's not a good promo. I was like, it's not, but it's the best one I've ever been a part of.
His character is who he is as a person.
Yeah.
So that's why it works. You know, all these guys over the years that have stood out and been great, they are who they are.
Yeah.
They're not, they may be blowing it up a little bit, you know, or intensifying it, but their core, they are who they are.
They're in character 24 hours, like Bushwhacker and Hacksaw both.
They're just
that's who they are. Just kind of nonstop. We went to took Hacksaw. I took him back to the airport. We stopped in Nashville, Illinois, up here at this little restaurant. You know, it's like a Greasy Spoon. You know, and he's just over with the waitress. I mean, nonstop. I mean, he's like just goofing around with her the whole time, and he's got her in his pocket. You know, she doesn't know who he is. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really, you know, she doesn't know anything.
There's just
wrestling.
This kind of goofy older guy.
But
who's...
Man, he that's just the way he is, nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy... Bushwhacker still texts him, and he sees us down Super at Mania, nice. And he comes to us. Hey, how you guys doing? I mean, like, never in my wildest dreams when I was a kid would I think that I'm going to be walking in somewhere and Bushwhacker Luke's going
to
be hollering at me,
be excited
telling
to see
me how to fix my sciatic nerve and teaching me stretches.
I've got some good pictures on my phone. I walk into the gym over here, and him and Bushwhacker have both been over doing yoga. Both been over, and so I get my phone out as fast as I can. Because
you don't tell him no. Like, I'm not into yoga, but he's like, you don't tell Bushwhacker, no, I'm not going to do that. Heck, I'm going to do it.
It was funny. Yeah, but good guys, so.
We've been blessed. With
and I can't say enough about Stride and Heath and those guys down there. You know, we've got to work with some real good people. Heath's a great, great man, and we appreciate the fact that he puts it, you know, gives the opportunity for guys to wrestle. And I realize they're not making a living doing it, but it's a lot of fun, and those guys are living a dream. And guys like Tony Flood, who I had the great opportunity in my first several matches at Stride to work with. I've not wrestled a lot, but anything Tony would ever ask me to do, I feel safe. I mean, I feel like he is going to watch out for me, even though, you know, it could seem like a crazy something we're going to do. As long as I'm with Tony, I feel like I'm going to be safe.
And with Tony, it normally is crazy, but you are safe.
Well, and that's what Tony, he always asks me, Jerry, what do you want to do? I'm like, hey, I saw this thing on TV or on the internet, Spanish Fly. I said, do you know what that is? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, you want to do that? I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty cool. Let's give it, you know. He's like, okay, if you want to try it. And so we tried it. We did it one time.
Mm-hmm. I think it was here.
It was here, yeah.
Yeah, that top rope one.
And I'm like, I'm only doing it once, and it's just gonna, you know. So, that's what that was fun.
I mean, he fell off a 20-foot ladder here.
So
he's crazy.
That was the show right before we started showing up.
Oh, that
Like we
that was my favorite match I ever wrestled was the ladder match.
Because we were talking to Mathis about the match he had with Heath, the TLC match there. Yep. And Flood made a comment about your guys' match. Like, well, did you guys see ours? And we were like, when did you do it? And he said November. Yeah. And we just kind of looked at each other and our stomachs sunk because we were like, oh, we would have loved to have watched it.
It was fun. I mean, I just do what he tells me to do. You know, I'm like a puppet, you know. But it was fun. Tony is a great wrestler. I mean, very good. He can get our crowd going, and he's a good heel. And I've been blessed to be able to he's really the first person I was in the ring with for a long period, you know, for a feud, and I've been thankful for it. So now moving on to Pipsqueak, so we'll see how that goes.
I'm actually really excited to see, like, to see that continue. That's just been because Dexter is just so much fun to boo.
I like Dexter. I like his character. Mm-hmm. It works out good for me, especially because the whole Springfield thing, and right now with schools, I don't know how much you guys pay attention, but they're really joking with us, and it's been a fight. Know, with the superintendents in our area with Springfield. And so for me, it's not hard to get into character because I have some pent up feelings versus for politicians in Illinois. And so I've been trying to play off of that with him. And I like Garrett a lot. I mean, you know, he's a good guy, and he's like I am. We're willing to do anything. Now, I don't know what our matches are going to be like one-on-one, but, you know, we're just going to have to give it a shot and find out. But the feud's definitely going to keep going. And tonight should help things out as well. So,
yeah, no, he's one of those people that we started watching him here, and then he started doing things at CCW.
Yeah.
And he's gets exponentially better every time. And we see him once a month, once to two times a month. And every time, yeah, it's just like, even between the 2 weeks of the shows,
yeah,
he's being like, he got better in those 2 weeks. We don't know how he got better in those two. It's only been 2 weeks, but we can tell a difference every time.
Well, I know for sure he still religiously goes and trains every single week. He doesn't miss. He goes, even if he's the only guy there in the ring, he goes every single week and is working on trying to get better. I think he works on his character, too. As, you know, that's a lot of it. You guys know. I mean, getting your character and working on the mic is as important or more important than what you're doing in the ring. I mean, a lot of times. And so I know he works very hard at it, and I'm hoping that this goes. I know it's definitely going to go through October the 6th. We'll see how far it goes after that. So
he'll be coming into hostile territory.
He will be.
You better believe it.
He will be.
Our kids are very protective of us. I mean, to an extreme at our school. They want to keep – they got our backs 100%. You know,
I wasn't entirely convinced like there wasn't going to be a small riot, and only small because that was the size of the participants in this riot would have been, because
right,
like, it was crazy, because like Dalton and I, like, some, like, when we first started going to CCW, and less so at Stride, but like we kind of the way that we like to interact with wrestlers, and kind of, you know, we try to show that it's okay to be loud at a wrestling event.
Yeah.
We did not, like, we were just sitting there and like, we don't need to be here.
Yeah.
This is,
and that's like, why I love the Pickneyville show. Yeah. Just like, no, we can sit down and be fans.
Yeah.
Like, we don't
Let
have
me
to
ask you guys this though. How cool is it to sit there? Because I look at it, my mom was a teacher, my dad was a cop. Okay. I look at this is the way I look at it when I'm in the ring or whatever. How cool is it to see kids that are that positive about their teacher and superintendent? That does everything in the world for me. Like, do it for free, I'll take a beating. To see kids, like, because when I was in school, you know, it wasn't always cool to like the teacher. It wasn't always cool to like the principal. And when you see them like that protective of you and cheering for you, I mean, that brings all the intrinsic motivation to be a teacher ever when you see those kids light up and support you like that. So, I mean, to me, if you're a fan and you're just sitting there and you're watching these kids get into it like that, That's cool to me. When you're having a school fundraiser and they're behind their teacher instead of saying, please beat up my teacher because I don't like them.
Right.
No, it's the exact opposite, because I had some when I was in school where I may have been screaming, yeah, hit him again, harder.
Oh, like, I kind of want a teacher to come in and be heel.
We have discussed that, and we just don't know how it's going to work.
We discussed it. Yeah, there's a couple people I think that could pull it off, you know.
Because that would be it would be amazing, because, like, yeah, I know you're right, because that's something that we recognize. Just like, the kids are absolutely loving it, and it's one of those things, like, it got them into a school on a Saturday. Yeah. There's no way you could have gotten me into my school on a Saturday whenever I was in eighth
and
grade.
And we're so small. That was almost our entire student
body. Oh, yeah, we had 140 some kids here.
Oh, that's awesome.
K-8, we only have 140 kids.
And we had almost 350 here for that show, and, you know, so.
That's great.
Everybody comes, you know. You know, were you guys at the Summersville show? when we went to Mount Vernon, Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, was that Bob Orton?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of my favorite shows in that the fans at that show were so into it. Like, they didn't know kayfabe. I mean, they were mad. I mean, yeah. I had 25 guys come up to me, ticked, want me to go talk to Kevin and get that reversed, you know, going on. I mean, those people were into it, and that's just so fun. And some of our kids are like that. Most of our kids understand what's going on. They realize this is just for fun, and this mm-hmm. is kind of choreographed, but they still want to get into it, just like we get into it when it's WWE or whatever else, you know. And so,
and they know it still hurts. Like, we let them get in the ring, they know that. Oh, they yeah. know it hurts.
RPE mm-hmm. classes, we let them in the ring, and they, you know, so that
world's greatest school. Put that on the podcast.
I'll say it. Sounds absolutely correct.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's just been a great thing. And like I said, Stride's been great, you know, trying to support them. And there's a few other, I know, wrestling organizations around. CCW's one. Herb Simmons with SICCW out of Carondelet, East Carondelet. I mean, he's been really good to us. He's the one that's really hooked us up with Steamboat on October the 6th. He's got a show the next night. And he's been really good to us. He's one that hooked us up with Bob Orton as well in Summersville. And so, you know, there's just so many good people in wrestling in the business. Getting to meet the guys in the back is fun. You know, it's a different crowd at times, you know. And it's been a blessing. And I'm looking forward to the October 6th show and see what we get.
So as we're winding down here, favorite match? Not necessarily of yours, but just kind of.
Oh, that's easy. That's Steamboat Macho Man, WrestleMania 3. There's not even a doubt in my mind.
I mean, that was an immediate. Like, usually when we ask that, whenever we ask this question, it's there's a little bit more of a, oh, well. And then,
no,
like
that's me. I've watched it 10 times.
That's yours.
Wait, what, is that yours as well?
No, that's me sitting here thinking, I've seen so many cool things over the years that how do I.
Because, see, I had you pegged as a Austin Bret Hart at WrestleMania.
There's no doubt that one was one of them. But I also enjoyed, and I know it wasn't the greatest match of matches, but I can remember my dad and I sitting on the couch, AC/DC kicking up the Highway to Hell, and we're watching SummerSlam, Stone Cold and The Undertaker. And I can't pass that up either because it was so cool. I mean, just because The Undertaker was his Ministry of Darkness, almost. I don't know if he was quite there yet, but he was getting to that edge, you know, and Undertaker, Stone Cold, buried alive. Stone Cold drives a backhoe out there, and anytime Stone Cold's driving something that you don't see a professional wrestler drive, it's awesome. I mean, I've just been blessed to see so many cool things.
I think your greatest match, though, has to be something that you saw live. You know, it's not something you're going to go back and see on the network or something. It's got to be something that you were emotionally vested in. I'm assuming you probably saw those things live as well. I can remember when the Jabroni dropped his big leg on Iron Sheik and won the belt for the first time. I mean, I remember that. I remember like it was yesterday. And so was it a great match? No. But for me, you know, I remember it. I mean, watching Sting come out at Survivor Series a few years ago, wasn't a great. He didn't wrestle, but you know, there's just so many things that wrestling can do to a person and get your heart stern, and it just gives you something positive in this world to do. I mean, you could be out doing so many other things, and our kids could be out doing so many other things. We're thankful that they have wrestling to watch. And
my dad was a cop, and he was an investigator, and he was out doing drug deals on certain nights, and doing the you know, the bad stuff, you know, that you had to go out and do, and you didn't have a choice to say you could or couldn't go. But the one time he would make sure that he was home with me, you know, I'm playing all these sports, and he couldn't make it to all my games. But the one time he was home was Monday nights and Sunday nights once a month. We were not missing Stone Cold. And, you know, all those types of memories, that's when I got to spend time with my dad. And he and I are taking my dad to WrestleMania with us this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was him that says, call Big Mike, let's take him. And getting to do that, you know, that type of stuff, people don't realize that when they look at us, and people look at us and they probably laugh at us because
they laugh to our face sometimes.
We are big-time wrestling fanatics.
Nerds.
Nerds. Yeah, we're nerds. And, but they laugh at us, but there's emotional investment. We can remember family memories with this stuff, and that's why we love it so much. It's heartfelt, and now it's with our kids here. I mean, it's all in here now. You know, it's all in our hearts. You know, we love it because of those things. So it's super stuff. I mean, I love it.
Well, and there's going to be a great show October 6th. Got it right this time. Here at the Pinckneyville, number 204. Tickets are on sale now already?
That's right. They're on sale. Our front row's pretty well sold out already, but we do have reserved floor seats are $15, and the advantage there is you're by the ring, and you don't have to worry about getting in line to get your seat. It's reserved. And so those are $15 for the chair seats, and then we have a $10 general admission, which is the bleachers. And then on top of that, we do have a meet and greet from 5 to 6 p.m. With Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and it's only $10. You do have to have a event ticket to do the meet and greet, so you have to buy a wrestling ticket. You can't just come and take part in the meet and greet, but that's what it is. They can call 357-2419. It's our school phone number during office hours, or visit us here at the office at 204 School in Pinckneyville. Our chair seats go fast, or at least the first two or three rows do. So if you're wanting a ticket, please call and get us. I'll even do PayPal if they live. I know this goes into Cape and areas around there. So if they just want to call and do the PayPal thing, I'll do that through my personal account, and we'll take care of it. So
awesome. Well, thank you guys for doing this.
Oh, I had fun.
Yeah.
So always have fun talking about wrestling.
Yeah, anytime we talk about wrestling, we have fun. So
absolutely. Well, we will see you later on tonight at the Stride Fallout, which we'll get more into detail about how that went tomorrow night on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. But otherwise, thank you for joining us and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks
a lot.
Thank
you, guys.